Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my friends and neighbors, favorite gardeners. It's Lance and Lulu.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
You got tools on you, Lulu. You walked in with tools still on you.
I know. I've been busy. Yeah. But we're deep into...
got some research going on. So let me give you the phone numbers because we're going to get to that topic.
Right on.
And we are live. It's the middle of October, and we want to hear what you're up to because people are still busy
there.
970-527-4868-866, KVNF Now. And we also have our email, worm@kvnf.org. And we'll get to an email in a second. But a couple weeks ago, you guys were up in Cedar Edge.
Cedar Edge. Mm-hmm.
And went to the community garden there and gave a presentation. And we had a question from Andrea up there about, it was like a purple tomatilla.
That's what we thought.
Right.
She's the one that had it in her garden.
Okay.
Right.
And asking about it.
Right. And we were going, wait, what? What?
And so good.
A note in their garden huckleberries.
Garden huckleberries.
Yeah.
She figured
Solanum melanocerasum.
You know, that sounds pretty darn good to
me. Yeah. I mean, they're beautiful.
Yeah, they are. They're beautiful. They're related. They are. And we said, oh, yeah, they got to be a nightshade or something. Mm-hmm. And they are. They're related to tomatoes and like that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And she made jam out of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're purple. And are they that dark like a huckleberry?
Yeah, they're super dark. Mm-hmm. They're shiny. They don't have the little – I got it right here on my phone. They don't have the little opening thing, you know, that you get on blueberries. And
right. Where the little
– and the ones that grow here, the service berries, which are all vicinium. And then this clearly is not a vicinium. So it says right there, it's Solanum melanocerasum.
I'm glad she's trying to pronounce that.
Yeah, it's a real melanocerasum.
Yeah.
Melanocerasum.
Okay.
And close enough.
Close enough. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. I'd love to actually taste some of that. I've always wanted to grow huckleberry here.
Yeah, and when we saw them out there, my God, they were these, you know, really voluptuous, big,
at that point,
showy
they were quite
plants.
And large berries.
Large mm-hmm. berries, which makes them easy to deal with.
Yeah.
And they're super shiny.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these big seeds that look like they look like a pumpkin seed or something almost. They're kind of like a big flat seed.
Yeah, but they're not a pumpkin seed. It's probably
no.
More the size of, at least of a lentil or a little
That's
bit smaller.
Still pretty big.
Right. Yeah. They're smaller. Right.
And it's an annual, right?
And it's annual. Yeah. Well, actually, in this little blip that we're looking through here, they have not specifically said that it's an annual, but it's got to be.
Yeah.
Could be, either or. I don't know. But huckleberries make me think of fruit, and you're still picking raspberries
I'm
out
still,
there.
I'm still picking raspberries, mm-hmm. and they're slowing down, but they're still blooming, and, you know, the bees are still working it.
Right.
And,
it's amazing the things that are getting little spurts. Like I had some new lavender come on and some more roses. And
You know what? I had the best thing ever. So I have this sunflower that I just let go, and it's probably 15 feet tall. And it's a native, you know, so it's got a lot of the branches
side
and everything.
Shoots.
Right, yeah. And the morning glories climbed up. The whole thing. And
at
the very top, the very last morning glories, you know. And when they get near the end, they're tinier.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, it was just with the sun, that the way the angle of the sun is at this time. Mm-hmm. It was so beautiful.
Nice.
So beautiful.
And still harvesting apples, of course. Boy.
There's still apples out there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I have all, you know, fall stuff, like the peas and...
You've got some nice peas in here tonight.
Yeah, I brought snow peas in. And anybody wants to try that, the last week of July is when you plant those.
to for harvest
fall,
now.
Fall crop. Mm-hmm. And those are snow peas. The snap peas come on first, and the heat really hit them hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the snow
it
peas
sure
did. The snow peas just sort of sat there, and the snap peas started to grow. And now the snap peas have that downy mildew going up. And that's just – it's just part of the thing. It's not anything you can really do about it. It just happens.
It just happens.
Mm-hmm. And it's only on the snap peas. It's not on the snow peas right now, you know, and
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Oh, that's
but,
a nice
you know, the daikon radish.
We're eating them, see.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Yeah. But daikon radish, you're doing really good in this kind mm-hmm. of weather. And
you said you had a giant daikon.
I had. It was probably about 16 inches long and 2 inches wide.
Oh, my God.
And I got it out in one pull.
Nice. Even in this dry, your soil must be perfect.
I'm watering, mm-hmm. Phil. So.
Speaking of watering, we did have an email from Thomas who was asking about fall watering. And he is intending to plant garlic when the time is right. We're going to mm-hmm. talk about that tonight anyway. So planting garlic, and also needs to plant some of that turkey red wheat seed that he uh-huh. picked up from you uh-huh. in Cedar Edge. And also winter rye as a cover crop. And wondering about watering. He's conscious of the drought.
Uh-huh. Well, it is garlic. At the early end of garlic planting time, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And stuff. But you can go ahead and plant it. And 4 inches deep and 4 to 6 inches wide.
It depends on the size of the
clove. Technically, it's double the size of the clove.
Or three. I thought it was three.
Two to three size.
Whatever, two to three. Anyway, get it down in there, you know.
Yeah. And it's... If you plant it too shallow, what happens is a freezing and thawing of the winter will push it up out
mm-hmm.
of the ground, and
right.
then you lose your entire crop. So
right.
it's better to plant it too deep than too shallow.
Yeah, because it will come up.
I've
ever seen it fail.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
So, and you know, if it's a little too early, if you mulch it with something, if you can get a bunch of leaves
yeah.
and just cover it and mulch it and, you know, discourage it from mm-hmm. growing. But it's weird. It's so hot out there. I don't know.
You're waiting a couple weeks, Lance.
I will plant that. I'm going to plant mine the last week of October to the first week of November is where I'll be planting mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that area is already prepped, ready to go. And then I'm not going to be growing wheat this year, but I'll be growing winter rye for grain, and I'll be planting that within the next 2 weeks.
Winter rye for grain.
Yeah, and you do winter wheat, any of your winter grains, you mm-hmm. plant mid to late October. And then if you're down a little bit lower, plant it in November.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you only want it about an inch or two tall going into winter. Mm-hmm. And yes, you're going to have to water it.
Okay, so Tom here in Cedar Edge, he's going to grow that turkey red wheat. When should mm-hmm. he be putting that in the ground?
In the next week or two.
Next week or two.
Yeah. I don't know where he is. Cedar Ridge itself is at the same elevation as I am, but is he above or below? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, all of us in town that are not supposed to be watering have to not water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. The grass, everybody, don't worry about your grass. If you don't walk on it and mat it down hard, it'll be fine. It'll recover fine in the spring. But the watering thing, it's depressing.
Yeah.
It's starting to really depress me, you know. So I still have a little bit of water in my cistern, so I'm bailing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to water my beets one more time. And then harvest them.
Uh-huh.
And I have collard greens still, but they don't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everything else is just drying up. And
yeah, it is just
laying over
up.
And it's, I hate to see it.
Waiting for the snow to come.
Yeah.
And,
but, you know, in real life, it would have been cold already by now. We could have had a frost already by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
you have, right?
No.
No hard frost yet.
Had some light frost. I'm still waiting for that hard frost.
Yeah. So there you have it.
So We did have a little bit of cool weather, but are you spraying or anything, or is it too warm for that?
I sprayed for kelp. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a little bit of time, and before I was going to cover things, I said, I'm just going to go ahead and spray with kelp, and it worked fine. I had enough left over the next morning, and I did it again. I mean, on certain things. I did the warm season stuff still, the raspberries and the squash. And I did the peas again because I didn't try to cover it. It's so hard to cover peas on a trellis.
Yeah. Yeah. I got the last of my French beans in.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And got a fairly good yield. I was surprised because remember how they just stopped when it got so hot? So there were still a few of those in there that were hollow. But the rest of them, even the little tiny ones, were tasty. And
oh, good.
Yeah. So I was excited about that.
What else do you have on your counters and tables right now?
Oh, God. Let's see. The cherry, the Nanking tomatoes have been drying. The marjoram is out of the pots because I was afraid it was going to freeze, and I was tired of watering it because I wasn't supposed to be anyway. So, I mean, it's a pot, you know. It's like watering your house plants. It wasn't that big a deal. So I still have so the marjoram is out drying. What else is there's one right next to the marjoram. Oh, tarragon. And oregano and parsley I leave until forever. I have one of the most gorgeous rosemary bushes ever. So I use that, dry that at will. But mostly I'm just trying to keep getting things done. There's
Right.
So much.
Cross them off the list.
Cross them off the list. Yeah. No more mowing.
There you go.
Yeah, no more mowing, right? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. I might mow one more time just to get the leaves off. And but the grass is, it's all laying over. Yeah. It's not so happy. Mm-hmm. So.
And doesn't seem like the leaves. I mean, there's some on the ground, but it's not like
it's almost time. They're coming down soon.
Yeah, mine are in the one of my maple trees is coming down hard in the front. And the oh my God, there's the autumn purple ashes are spectacular. Mm. And there's one up on the end of 3rd Street, up on the going east on 3rd Street, that is so beautiful. Has this beautiful round shape, and it's just purple and red and orange. It's
nice.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
God,
yeah,
I love this
fun
time.
It's fun to walk or ride around town. Beautiful trees. Okay, 527-4868-866, KVNF now, worm at kvnf.org, and our friend Anthony is using our worm email. So he's got a tree that was hit with too much fertilizer, a redbud tree.
Oh, my God. He has a redbud?
Uh-huh. Leaves half browned back at the moment. First inclination is massive watering. What do you think?
A hush fell over the crowd. Yeah. What are the leaves browning from the tip down, or is the whole leaf browning all at once?
You can leech it out.
That's kind of what you're going for.
Right? Yeah. And it's a redbud, so you think that you...
It's a redbud. I'm not...
They live here.
They can.
They're not...
But it's touchy.
Yeah, you have to have the right spots.
Yeah, and
but they're a legume. They're in the same legume family as locusts, stuff like that. Maybe not the same family, but they're a nitrogen-fixing tree.
Right. And they're prominent in the South. You see them all through the South. Is that the same one that we're talking?
Oh, well, there's different red buds.
Yeah.
There's even the California red bud.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's native.
Oh, see, they get around.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Good for them.
But, I would just – it's not a tree that I would fertilize because it has its own nitrogen.
Doesn't need it.
So that could very well be what happened. It got a little too hot.
I've heard that happening.
I think he had some terrorists overdo it. That's what he...
I have heard that if you have aspen in the lawn and you fertilize with a lawn fertilizer, they don't like it at all.
Oh, well, an aspen have that root system.
That's all over the place. Mm-hmm. So.
They're amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God. That's like the... We have one of those aspen forests. I think it's on the plateau over there. That's one of the largest living organisms because of its whole, the way they're...
I think it's the one that's on Kebler Pass.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think there's a lot here in western Colorado. Yeah.
And they are. They're huge. They're all
like
connected.
Kind of like a mushroom community under there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
fascinating. So. Hey, we've got John on the line from Redvale. Good evening, John.
How are you all?
Good.
Great. What's going on?
I am struggling with getting my raspberries to make raspberries. You know, I think they're the second year cane varieties.
Okay.
Not real sure, but they fruit in the second year, but every time in the spring, my canes die, pretty much. They don't come back. And I was wondering what I could be doing wrong.
Well, then it's a prima cane instead of the second year.
Oh.
I suspect you should prune the whole thing down this fall. And the trick with raspberries is water.
What's the trick with that?
In the winter?
All season long. Oh. If you want raspberries, you got to water.
It's in the winter?
Well, they don't want to go through winter dry.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But during the growing season, you have to water. Don't ever let them dry out.
I keep them on my drip with the rest of the garden all summer long. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
is it one
in the
drip?
Winter, I don't know if I'm keeping up with it. And the one year I got raspberries off of these, it was not this past summer, but the summer before.
Was it a late,
a good snow year?
Yeah, was it a late crop or an early one?
It's fairly early. I was picking them in July, mm-hmm. late June.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Wow.
I mean, there's some Home Depot plants. They didn't give me a lot of info on what I grew out there.
You know, that's what I was just going to say. If they're being that touchy and that fussy, maybe it's time to try a different variety.
Yeah.
Start over.
Yeah.
Well, what I had a friend, she was down in Moab, and she wanted to get raspberries. And what called me up and wanted, what variety should I get? And I said, stop right there.
Yeah.
And I said, find somebody in Moab that has raspberries that produce really well. So you're in Redvale. Find somebody in Redvale or the area
right
that has
there.
Really good producing raspberries and see if you can get some.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Good luck, John.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Good
Thanks
luck.
For the call.
Bye.
You know, that's such sound advice. If you want to grow something, walk around your neighborhood and figure out what's growing and figure out what it is. And
that works.
That's going to be a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the seed saving and growing your own seed and how that all acclimates.
Yeah. I've got all my garlic in the truck and the little beginner, the first year elephant garlic.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to go plant it up at the orphanage farm. So that's going to be a good idea and a good way to get started.
Mm-hmm.
Get those little guys in the ground. Yeah, but you know, that's it. Just do something. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. And keep trying.
Keep trying.
No, I was just thinking of the raspberries that he has. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they suggest not fertilizing your berries. I fertilize my berries every year.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But just in the fall, just compost, maybe a little bit in the spring. And then I might spray some kelp for when they first start to bloom to go through the stress.
Yeah,
thing.
See, I never fertilize in the fall.
Yeah.
In the fall, I just let everything go to sleep.
Yeah, if I get to it, they'll get it. If I don't, they don't. But they'll definitely get it in the spring. So it's okay to fertilize. And I would do compost or aged manure, not high nitrogen.
I lied. Do you know what I do fertilize in the fall? My rhubarb.
Oh, okay.
Mm, do you?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It comes up early, so that's a good idea.
Yeah, because yeah. Right. You don't want to be trying. Yeah, no, just fertilize it in the fall. And that's a heavy feeder.
Mm-hmm.
If you want those monster, massive leaves, mm-hmm.
yeah,
you
got to
feed it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you got to give it some food.
Love it.
And it loves horse manure. It loves.
Rhubarb does.
Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. I think that's its favorite. I don't know why, because I've tried a lot of other stuff. Yeah. But
do you have rhubarb in your garden?
Yes, I have one plant.
I thought so, yeah.
Do you ever use it?
Some years. This year I did not, but other years I do. Yeah. For mm-hmm. whatever, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then yeah. Our friend Jam wanted some up in Gunnison, mm-hmm. so she took a big half of it. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So.
Some years nice. You just crave it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to work mine over next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to work it right down, and mm-hmm. then I'll probably have to split it.
Clean
the
it up.
Following
Ooh,
year.
I'll take some when you split it.
Okay.
Hey, the South Side is up tonight, and it's Deborah in Norwood with a question. Hello, Deborah.
Hello.
Hi.
What's
I have a couple
on?
Questions for mm-hmm. you, maybe an easy one first. I have some lavender that I bought in a pot, that I planted in a pot, and it's doing beautiful, and I'm wondering if I should put it in my greenhouse or should I plant it in the ground?
Oh, you know what? That's a rough call. It really is. No, mm-hmm. I'm
it's
serious.
It's really thriving right now.
Yeah. It's so, your thing. I personally, you could do... You can leave it in the pot and bury the pot in the ground.
Okay.
And then you can still move it around next spring. You can plant it in the garden or someplace wherever you want it to be.
Or put it you back can, in the,
or,
in the pot.
You know, if you have a greenhouse and you want it, let it go for it.
Yeah, I'm so fond of it, and I've
right?
had it, and I've had it be so fussy for me that I think I would put it in the greenhouse.
Uh-huh. Okay. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because it's a beautiful pot. It's a beautiful pot, and it's a beautiful plant. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this? Because it's not going to survive
right
here, right now, like
right.
this.
Right.
Okay, so I just put it in the greenhouse then.
Sure.
Awesome. So yeah. The next question, I don't know if you guys are up on canning.
Canning, sure.
Well,
a little bit.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I have nectarines that someone gave me that are from 2016.
Oh.
And they're canned in agave.
Ooh.
Agave sweetener?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's still sealed. And the person that gave them to me said, oh, here, you can have these. I don't trust it, you know.
But Wait a second.
So I thought I'd call you guys and see if you would trust that. They're beautiful. They
it's
look good.
A few
they're
years ago.
And it's
yeah.
not bubbly or anything.
Well, if they're sealed, then...
I'm saying hands up on
yeah.
that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm thinking so, too, because
yeah.
I think that if it's sealed, it's good to go, even with tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. The acidic sometimes. Stuff like that and the stuff with a
Let's
lot of
see.
Sugar.
Yeah. It would be okay. It seems like...
That sounds delicious.
Mormon traditions can for 7 years.
Oh.
They mm-hmm. can. And the stuff they're canning now is to use in 4 to 5 years.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They always keep that much on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, you know, I'd go for it. I mean, open it, smell it.
I mean, that's
know?
Why you go through that process oh, rather than freezing.
Right.
Is
and you smell and taste the
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and taste a little, yeah, taste a tiny bit, you know, that
acidic.
Way if you get sick, you'll just get a tiny bit sick.
And,
you know, you
okay. All right. Well, great. That answers my question. Thank
All
you.
All right. Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
It's good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. Yeah, it's tricky, you know.
That's, you know, that's, I guess growing up as a kid, I wouldn't even question that. When my grandma canned things and we had things on the shelf. 2016, I've got stuff in my refrigerator.
That
yeah.
a girl.
Yeah.
Nice work. Yeah, I wouldn't.
You know, another thing, if you're really worried and you say, okay, this is too old, compost.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's not gonna go to waste.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're not actively working your compost now, but you're adding to it and putting things in the pile.
Yeah, I've just got that huge storage area, and so it's mainly just garden waste from the fall cleanup. Mm-hmm. And like right now, the latest layer, I just harvested, 200 pounds of German butterball potatoes. So it's all the mulch.
200, did you say?
Yeah, 200 pounds of German butterballs. And that mulch. So it was leaves, hay, and straw all mixed together.
Right.
Wow, nice.
You know, right. So that went on the top. And then during the winter, or even now, all my gray water from the kitchen sinks, I use dish pans, that goes onto that compost pile.
And is that the only water that you give it then?
Get it. Yeah, in fact, last week, remember, we were talking about the ashes. I knew I had a 5-gallon bucket of ashes someplace, so I went and got that. I said, I'm going to start a fire sooner, so I'll have fresh stuff. So I found that bucket and threw that on there.
Right. Well, you know, the whole thing with the compost is to just keep it, to just do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen in my garden. I was out there today fiddling and starting to clean and harvesting, and I just look at it and go, oh, man, I had all these great plants, and then there wasn't any water, and it's been too dry, and now the dirt is rock hard. And, I'm thinking, some of it is. Some of it's pretty sweet, but I'm thinking, you know, I'm just going to chop everything down and just leave it lie and let it decompose and do its thing over the winter and then rake it up in the spring and start all over.
Yeah.
You know, just start anew.
There's all these options.
Yeah.
And every year we do something different.
Right.
That's right. You know, just go with the flow, and.
Yeah. Mowing it down is just fine.
Yeah.
Leaving it right there.
Yeah. Leaving it right there. Because the chicken yard is a wreck, and the chicken yard is so dry, and the chicken house is so dry. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I need some new straw. Anybody have any organic straw? I need some new straw. But it's just been hard, you know, without...
Yeah.
Moisture. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's Barry in Uray with a question. Good evening, Barry.
Good evening.
Hi.
What's happening?
Oh, man, I like the compost idea a lot. and, you know, it's good. The uric acid is good. It gives people a place to go out and urinate on their compost. And don't forget to urinate on it.
Yeah.
No, it's good. We know that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, right. So my question is I left for a while this summer during the drought, and my walking onions have thrived, and
they grew really well.
They were growing with no water.
Yes.
For three months.
Yeah,
they're amazing.
We overwater onions, and if you keep them more on the dry side, you'll actually get better onions.
Oh,
So this is what happened.
So they liked it.
My question is about my artichokes, my sunchokes. They've all depleted. I let them go. They didn't have water for all summer. Will they come back?
The little if they make small, yeah.
They might.
If they made small bulbs, yes.
Sunchokes. Well,
Jerusalem artichoke.
Yeah, they'll come back.
Yeah. There's bulbs. So I'll just start watering them again.
Yeah, you know, you might make sure they go into winter moist and. And whenever you need to start watering in down there in Uray,
Uray.
Right.
Yeah, then you start watering there. Probably that's probably April or May.
Right.
Yeah, sunchokes, yeah. I used to have a lot of those, and they just sort of worked themselves out because they were with the comfrey, and the comfrey overran them. So.
Yeah, but they'll come back. You might want to go in there. I don't know how... you just have them in this one patch?
Yeah, I've got them isolated, but there's no top tunnel now. There's no life.
Right. How established is it? Is it?
About 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you should be all right.
You'd be all right.
They'll come back.
Yeah, they'll come back. You know what you might do since it's such a dry year and they're not that big, I would go in there and thin them. Take those smaller tubes and only have, you know, like a one of those juice of artichokes, one every 6 inches, and thin them out.
Yeah, that thinning's hard to do, but it pays off.
It pays off, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thin them out.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Good luck with that, Barry. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good luck.
I'm gonna go pee on my compost.
All right.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
The health department's gonna be on our on our case after that. Yeah, we're telling people to pee on their county.
We didn't tell anybody.
We didn't tell anybody.
You didn't say that this time.
That's right. We didn't. That's right. That's right. We didn't say anything.
All right. And that's going to end it for us tonight.
Yeah.
And we'll be back again next Tuesday for another edition of As the Worm Turns. I think your hands will probably be dirtier by then, Lance.
Yeah, I'll have the potatoes.
Right. Dig more. The fingerlings are coming out.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm doing 75 or more, 100 pounds of carrots every week.
Wow. Jeez. That's a lot of stuff. Yeah. Out of
mother.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
All right, have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.